Well, you've noticed again, this is a new year, and we have a new theme for the year. And the theme for this year is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, actually at verse 5. But I'd like to share with you verses 4 through 7 that say, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness, His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Today, in order to keep that command, and our screen went kind of squirrely here, let me fix the technology. You know, sometimes you think everything's perfect, and it doesn't always work out that way. But as we go through life, we realize that we're just vessels working for God. And sometimes we're against God. This church that we worship in, that gathers here together, the saints who worship God together here, this is a strong church. There are men here who are like those in the book of Revelation that have labored hard and they persevere and they keep the commandments of God. And this congregation, I pray, Lord willing, will be here for a long, long time. And whether I'm here or not, I believe that there are good men who will continue to serve the Lord with gladness, in spirit, and in truth. So this church stands upon Jesus Christ and no other, and especially not me. And so I hope that in this theme that God made us alive together in Christ, we understand that that's everyone who is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And in keeping with this theme, I'd like to share together with you three things from the book of John that was read in your hearing earlier this morning, verses 1 through 14. And as we look at this, the three points that I'd like to bring out from that are the three gifts of Jesus. And the first gift, of course, that He gives us is His Word, or the world, rather. He gave us the world. And I want you to think about that as we go into this lesson. He gave us everything that we stand upon this day. The gift of His Word and the gift of salvation. And so let's begin talking here about the gift of God's Word, and take notice of that. The scripture that we point to right away is in the gift of the world, rather, is in John chapter 3, or 1, verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, the scripture says, "All things that were made, and without Him was nothing made that was made." Jesus is the one through whom God worked to make everything. We can read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that God had spoken times past to the prophets, but in these last days spoke to us through His Son, whom He made heir of all things and through whom He created all things. That's who we're talking about here. It was Jesus that literally gave us the world. In Psalm 19:1, David wrote, "The heavens are telling of the glory." You see that? You think about the heavens, they talk about the glory of God and their expanse, declaring the work of His hands. We're talking about Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Remember where God made light and dark by speaking it into existence? That's our Lord. He made the firmament. He made the dry land. He made the sun and the moon. He placed the stars in the heavens. That's what we're talking about. All these things that we see, all the creatures that walk upon the earth, all the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and of course God made us. He made man. From the dust of the ground He made man. And when you think about this, and we think of Jesus, our Savior, whom we call, He's the one that made everything for us. And we stand upon this little ball that we call the earth, and you mull that over in your mind. Think about that just for a moment. And I'm seriously, you know, God, who had everything, decided to make something for you. And that was out of His love. He made all these things. Everything that you smell. You know, you're driving down the street and you get this odor in your nose and you go, oh, there's a skunk. Somebody hit a skunk. Well, God made that skunk. Everything you see with your eyes as you go around from place to place, and if you travel the country or the world and you see all the glory, the majesty of the mountains and these grand rivers and valleys and everything that God has made, the forests, those things that you see are the things that God has made. Everything you can touch, when you hug someone that you care about, that touch, that feeling, God made that. Everything you hear with your ear, whether it be the Word of God or some embrace from a friend and that says, you know, I care about you, I love you. Everything that you hear, God made that for you. And that right down to our intellect, our ability to think and to know, our emotions, our hopes, our dreams, all these things are part of this world that God has made for everybody. And that's why David wrote these words. The heavens declare, they're telling the glory of God. And you look up and you meditate on His greatness. We should all do that. Listen, the creation is out there and the creation speaking to us. This world and everything in it, as we think about it and you just listen, it tells of God's glory. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal Godhead and power, Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and at verse 20. And I tell you, those who honestly look into creation, when they gaze on the things that are made, they're going to hear a very powerful message from the Creator, our God. I want you to consider the account of creation, how it happened. God just spoke these things into existence through His Son Jesus. They were made, and we can examine it. We can learn all about this world that God has given us, the universe all around us, everything that reveals His power and His greatness. Psalm 19 goes on there to say in verses 2 and 3, David says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where His voice is not heard. Creation is crying out to the world, look at me. And you know, when men break out their little microscopes, and they're looking down into the most little tiny minuscule things of creation, they're trying to get down to the very, very tiniest, tiniest little bits of matter. And you know what they should be saying when they look at that? When they're real honest, what they should be saying is, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What they should be saying is, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. They should be saying, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. That's what they should be saying. And likewise, when men get out their telescopes and they're looking and gazing up into the heavens, and you know, I've read on the internet over and over about this new thing about the expanse of the universe. They thought one thing and now they're thinking another. Just look. And remember that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's what they should be saying. I'm looking out there and I see all this. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. They should be saying, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament as they look up. They should be saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And they should be saying, amen. You see, creation is truly a gift. One that is held in place by the power of the Word of God. One that, when examined, speaks of the glory of His creation. It speaks of this world, this gift to us, all around us, everything a gift from God. And without a doubt, as you look at creation, it is telling you all about His power and all about His might. And speaking of power and might, the Word of the Lord is power and might. And another gift that Jesus, and we see in the text from this book here of John, we see that the gift of His Word. We all know the very first verse, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John, in 1 John chapter 1, he writes, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life, Jesus. God, in the form of Jesus, gave us this Word that was in heaven. It's this wonderful message for mankind. A message of hope and a message of salvation. A message of great power and of great love. That's the message of the Gospel. That's what we read in verse 14 here. As we read those words, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the message. When we think of the Bible from cover to cover, it's the message of God to man. It's not a book written by man about God, trying to find God, groping around in foolishness. And it's a message that came down from heaven by the breath of God for us, so that we may know the truth about God. We may know who He is. We may know about His love. Not the message of this world that differs from time to time. It's not the things that we have in our minds that sometimes we hold to in love and sometimes we hate. It's the Word that astonished people, Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. They were astonished with the authority of Jesus. It's the Word that had the power to create. It's the Word that has the power to destroy. It's the Word of God that has the power to save. It's the power of the Gospel that saves everyone who believes, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. It can't be replaced by anyone or anything different. It's the prophetic Word of the prophets that is being confirmed by all the signs, wonders, and miracles, by everything that we see. It's being confirmed. That's very important to all of us. We need to heed it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 19. You know, it was the psalmist in Psalm 43. I read that a lot. In Psalm 43, the psalmist says in verse 3, oh, I send out Your light, Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to Your holy hill and to Your tabernacle. God sent this light. We read about the light here in verse 4, in Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. It shines here in this world. It shines in our hearts. You know, it says, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that really means that the darkness, it couldn't overcome the light. The light is so great, so powerful, that even though we live in darkness, even though we live in this world, even though we're corrupt, even though we're sinners, Christ died for us. He brought this light down from heaven. And that light shines in the darkness, and there's nothing you can do about it. because those who have good hearts will see that light and be illuminated by it. It's an amazing and powerful thing. It's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life in John chapter 14 and verse 6. It is the 66 books of your Bible that are in full harmony one with another that prove again that this Bible is from God. It's the revelation of God's plan for every one of us. And it came via the divine power of God, and it gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 3. It is the God-breathed. You see that? If you're doing the note page, it's God-breathed word. Not man-breathed word. Not some ambiguous word. It's not word that we can't quote who the author is. In the bulletin today, I have the final page on love, and I have a poem that I got, but I have no idea who wrote the poem. But I know who wrote this book. I know how we got it. It was breathed out for God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the Word that God sent us. This is Jesus who came down from heaven and dwelled among us. This is the Word of God, the Creator of all things. It is the Word of the Spirit, John chapter 6 and verse 63. You know, Jesus said that His words are the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. That is absolutely mind-boggling how powerful this Word is. No matter who we are, if we're willing to listen to the Word of God, it can change our lives for eternity. Powerful, powerful Word. James chapter 1 verse 18 says that we're begotten by this Word. We're brought forth the Word of truth. And the Word of truth is the gospel of our salvations, Ephesians 1 and 13. Everyone who believes this precious Word can be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. It is the Word that I said came down from heaven. You know, I didn't say that. I quoted that. It was delivered to us by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the Word of the truth of the gospel, which gives us all hope. It's that we have hope that there's something laid up for us in heaven, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. The Word gives us hope. It's the Word of truth that when planted in a fertile heart can save a soul from death. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." It's not something that came from God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Save those who believe. When they hear the Word and it's implanted and love the Word, and they accept and obey that Word, James chapter 3, verse 17, it tells us that the Lord's Word is a great gift. Something that is received from the Creator. It's the wisdom that comes from above. And one thing that makes the Word wonderful is the Bible. And the fact that it never changes. Think about that. Of all the books written of men, how many different versions or revisions, I should say, are there? Revisions meaning that they said it this way once, and over here it said different. My father, when I was growing up, had a complete encyclopedia set. Some of us that are older know what that is. These big, thick books, you know, 25 volumes. Had everything you wanted to know about this world, about life, everything. It was all in there. You had a subject, look it up in the book. You know those books are worthless today? Because they had revision 1, then they had revision 2, then they had revision 10, 20, 30. Now we have the internet. Everything changes. But God's Word, it'll never change. And the thing that's great about this is you can depend upon it then. You don't have to be wavering and back and forth like James talked about who, you know, if you believe in God, trust in Him. Don't be like the waves of the sea back and forth. It'll never change. And not only because the Word, you know why the Word doesn't change is because God will never change. God won't change. Hebrews 3:18, Jesus Christ the same. Right? Yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. And in James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. With Him is no variableness. No variation. Or shadow of turning. God simply doesn't change. And that's a great thing because we can depend on that. And His Word will never change. Numbers chapter 23 and at verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. He has said, and will He not do? For has He spoken? Or has He spoken? And look at that. Will He not make it good? God, whatever He says, it's going to come to pass. Not one word will fall to the ground that God spoke. Isaiah chapter 40, and at verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever, it will never change. Psalm 119, and at verse 89, the psalmist, he says, forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled. Steadfast, no more changes. It's also the matter settled. Your Word is settled in heaven. Because His Word never changes, by it we can know the unchanging truth of God. We can know the unchanging truth about creation. We can know the unchanging truth about Jesus. We can know the unchanging truth about salvation. The unchanging truth about the church. Unchanging truth about our hope in heaven. John 8:32 says you'll know the truth, and we know what's going to happen. You know the truth will make you free. Free from sin. Free from confusion. Is there a God? Isn't there a God? Is God in that tree or did God make the tree? Is there heaven? Is there hell? God says you'll know the truth. And it'll make you free. Free from all that confusion. There's one more gift included in this text that I've seen. And that simply is that the gift of salvation. You think about this today as you hear that word salvation. Are you saved? Have you done everything that the Lord God commanded you do to be saved? Are you saved from your sins? Are you set free from your iniquities? Is Jesus truly your Lord and Master? Do you obey His commands? Do you seek to live a life holy and without reproach? Are you saved? You know, the text there is in John chapter 1, verse 12. Should be familiar. It's a wonderful, amazing verse. But as many as received Him, to them He gave a right to become children of God to those who believe. He'll save you. And all we have to do is believe Him. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals a paralytic. And after He heals the paralytic, the Scripture tells us that the multitude saw it and they marveled and they glorified God and had given such power to men. You know, that word power there is the exact same word up here as right. The same word. That's why that little A is up there. Some of your Bible translations might even use the word power. Same word. You could say that when Jesus gave men the right to become the children of God, you could easily say He gave them the power to become the children of God. How did He do that? Well, He brought the light into the world. The light of truth. The light that shone in darkness. The light that can't be overcome. The precious Word of God. The lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. He brought a great message of love, 1 John 4:8. God is love. And everyone who loves God, or loves his brother, and loves God. God is love. He brought that message to us. His message saves through faith and obedience. Listen, Jesus said, blessed are those who what? You see that, guys? They hear. They hear the Word of God and they keep it. I love it when I see guys writing down the answers, filling in the blanks. They hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith and obedience. If you want to be perfect, Jesus said, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then he says what? Come and follow me. Follow Jesus. Isn't that what God said from heaven on that Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. You know, when we hear, we follow. We're not following without any reason. We're not just following an ambiguous creature or person walking to and from. We're following because we heard. We're following like the disciples in the beginning when Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist proclaimed Him. And he bore witness of this light that came into the world and of His fullness that we received. He's the one who gave testimony of Jesus. He's the one who was the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He's the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God. It wasn't some strange thing walking around and people just decide to follow. It was the Lamb of God. It was Jesus Christ, God's Son. It was the Messiah, the Savior. Behold the Lamb of God. And when those people heard Him, you look at verse 38, Philip, they heard John and they heard Jesus and they turned and they saw Him. They heard of Jesus and what did they hear? What do you seek? Verse 39, He says to them, come and see. Follow Me. It's an amazing thing, salvation. Such a simple thing. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believed in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You know, it was Paul that wrote, in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time when that came, God sent His Son forth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But He went on there. It wasn't just the Jews. It wasn't those who were under the law. In Ephesians chapter 3 and at verse 6, He tells us that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. So all mankind, that light came to the whole world. That's why He said, for God so loved the world. He didn't say God so loved the Jews. He didn't say God so loved just Gentiles. He didn't say black, white, yellow, red. God's no respecter of persons. He loved the world. He loved the whole world, all of His creation, and especially man. We can be partakers of the gospel of Christ through the gospel. One of the great purposes of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has come to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and at verse 10. Think about those things. Just absolutely mind-boggling. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The light of the world. And because of that, we don't have to be in darkness. We'll know the truth, and the truth can make us free. Remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. David Scarpino is absolutely nothing. It's like I said earlier, this church, though I leave, will go on because of faith, not because of David. David is nothing. But the Word of God is everything. The power of God is everything. James chapter 1 and at verse 12 tells us that those who receive the Word of God in their hearts, it empowers us to become the children of God, that implanted Word which is able to save our souls. You know, every time a preacher preaches and he quotes scriptures, he's quoting God. And the minute he gets in between, like right now, and I'm just talking, that's when he needs to be careful. It's the implanted Word. It's the Word of God. It's the power of the Word that saves. We plant the seed of God's Word and pray that it goes into a fertile heart. And somebody else waters that with Word of God. But it's God who brings the increase. Not Paul, not Silas, not Apollos, not they. It's God and God alone. And you put all these things together and think about the gift of our Lord and how great they are. Seeing the wonders of His creation, just looking around at the things that are made, reading through the gift of God's Word, telling us about God's existence before and His existence will be after, as in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. It's the God who was and who is and who will be again. His love, His plan for us. And all these things, they point to Jesus. They point to Jesus. And the right or the power that He gave everyone to become a child of God through faith and obedience. And when you think of what is the power, when we consider creation, you know what? You soon realize that God's power is literally limitless. Limitless. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, God, concerning the promise of Abraham that he through Sarah would have a son. And what? Remember Sarah laughed? But God said, you know, why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is too hard. In Psalm 28 and at verse 4, or 29 verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Remember God said, let there be light. Power. Power. So powerful is the voice of God that it can redeem souls and even from the grave. That's what the psalmist tells us. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, Psalm 49 and at verse 15. You know, remember the words, Lazarus, come forth. You talk about power. This man was dead in the grave. He stunk. His body was rotting away. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. They rolled away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, with the death cloth wrapped all around him, gets up and walks out of that tomb whole. That is power. You know, remember these words in Mark chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus has this little girl, she's 14 or 12 years old. Talitha Kumi. What does that mean? Little girl, I say to you, arise. This girl was dead. Everybody knew she was dead. And they all mocked Jesus. You know, don't bother the master, she's dead. Let it go. It's done. It's finished. There's just nothing more you can do. And Jesus sends everybody out of the house. And He goes to the little girl, takes her hand. Come, little girl, I say to you, arise. This is the kind of power we're dealing with when we talk about the Word of God. This is the kind of power that you're thinking about when you think of the gift of God, this world. This is the power of Jesus to save, even from death. And because the Lord has all of that kind of power, He made the worlds with that power. And Hebrews chapter 1 and at verse 3 tells us that by that power He upholds all things. And because the Lord has all that power. Don't you think that He can save you in no matter what condition you're in? He can help you no matter how you feel. He can raise you up no matter how low you are. He can put you on the right path no matter how far off the path you are. It is God alone that can take what is crooked and make it straight because of the power. He can save us. Let's remember our theme. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. My friends, even though God does have the power, He has the power to save, to destroy, to create, there's one thing that, there's something that He'll never do with that power. For every one of you here right now today, no matter what your condition is, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're in sin or out of sin, there's something God will never do with His power. He'll never force you in any way, shape, or form to obey Him. You have to do that on your own. He'll never turn you away and never turn away from you. You have to do that on your own. And what Jesus did with these three gifts today that we're reading about and so much more is He's just showing us. He's saying, look around. Examine everything. I've given you all that you need. Heaven, earth. And I've given you Myself. Salvation. So that you can have the power or the right to become a child of God. Most of us know about a fellow named Daniel Boone. Okay? Daniel Boone. As we think about Daniel Boone, I'd like to throw four words at you. Saving face or saving soul. Daniel Boone, Daniel Boone, a great American history hero, whatever, and he traveled the countryside, the hills and valleys and the mountains. Great outdoorsman. And somebody one time came to Daniel Boone and they said, have you ever been lost? Well, Daniel Boone didn't want to lose face. That's what I think. And so instead of saying, well, yeah, I've been lost. Sure, I've been lost. He said, I've never been lost, but I've been a mite bewildered. Saving face. And as we think about this, in this room, all of us, we need to be sure that we're not saving face instead of saving our souls. And the fact is that we're all in sin. We've all been lost. And it's only by the blood of Christ and obedient to His commandments that we can be saved. And it's important for us not to be a mite bewildered about this because God's given us the answers. We don't need to be bewildered. Jesus, He told us very clearly what we must do. He said we must hear and be taught. He said we must believe that Jesus is, that He's the Christ, to repent of our sins, to confess Him before men, and to obey the Lord's command. To be baptized, to have our sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ. And He said, live life faithful till death. He told us, it's simple. It's not like that big encyclopedia set. You don't have to dig through 25 volumes, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages. We don't need to be bewildered. We can repent this day and be baptized and be saved. We can be restored this day and become faithful until death. Don't have to be willing. You know, the water's ready, the church is ready, and the Lord is waiting. If there's anyone here who has need this day, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.